Liverpool came out victorious in their last game against Newcastle in a cracker of a game, needing a late Rio Ngomoha dagger at St. James's Park to secure all 3 points. In the other corner, Arsenal trashed Leeds 5-0 at home in a comfortable victory. Welcome back to Tough Conversations. My name is Sam, and today we will be discussing the titanic clash between Liverpool and Arsenal coming up on Sunday. Joining me for this discussion is Mr. Ogo. Welcome back to Tough Conversations. How do you do?
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm doing great. How about you?
Very well. Never been better. Always a pleasure to discuss football with you. Welcome back, Analyst Kenneth. How do you do?
I'm fine. Thank you. I hope you're fine too.
Very well. Very well. It's a beautiful day today. Quickly, let's get into it. Analyst Kenneth, last time we spoke, we discussed about Liverpool in detail. And I'm going to ask this question again. Have Liverpool recruited right this summer?
So you asked me that question, and my answer was yes, or I said yes to an extent. Yeah. And the only reason, while I was answering that question, I was looking at the game that we're going to play against Newcastle. I remember our prediction was, I said, I'm seeing Liverpool winning, but because of the emotions and the sentiments around the game, I think they would have a draw, and the draw didn't happen, even though we were so close to that draw. So I would say no, for the sake of depth, they've not done that, to be honest. And looking at, like, I was looking at their bench in that game, and if anything happens to Van Dijk now, do we have a central center back who could lead the line? And in the absence of Frimpong and Kono badly not ready, we saw they had to use a makeshift of Sabo's line. So for all the games we would be seeing this season, it doesn't look like they've recruited enough. Also, we have to put into context that Liverpool didn't really have a lot of injury last year like Arsenal. For instance, we could see now that there's no Kai Havertz for them, there's no Odegaard for them, there is no Saka for them. Yes, yeah, they want to go into that Liverpool game confidently. If it were last season and these three guys had injury, what we would say is, what we'd be expecting is probably a front line of Martinez, Merino, and Wanery. Yeah. Do you understand? But that has entirely changed this season. We have Madueke and Guy Carres now that they've added into that forward, which now gives Ateta the option of using a Merino, Declan Rice, and Zubimendi, which is strong. So that's depth, and that I'm using Arsenal as an instance to show what a good depth looks like. That Liverpool doesn't have it. So right. No, not
right, because I asked this question mainly because if you looked at Liverpool, at least for the past two games right now, you could see that there's a serious lack of depth at the central back position that you've clearly talked about. My main point for asking this question is there have been rumors about them getting Mark Gehi from Crystal Palace, their captain, and nothing has still sufficed right now. And every single day that passes, there are still Liverpool comments, there are still Liverpool rhetorics surrounding Alexander Isak. It begs the question, why? Because we've now seen Ekitike start and score 3 times in the last 3 official games for Liverpool. So it really begs the question. I'm at a loss why they would still be chasing Alexander Isak, especially after everything that's been shown at St. James's Park in the past week. Let me quickly come to you, Mr. Ogo. Arsenal will be going to Anfield. In the last game versus Leeds, there were unfortunate injuries to Saka, to Odegaard. How do you think Arsenal deals with this, going to a pressure cooker of a game like this at Anfield on Sunday?
Rightly, like you said, it's a pressure cooker at Anfield, one of the most chaotic and dangerous stadiums in the EPL, because the Anfield fans will not stop. Their voices are never silenced. They are one of those teams that will put you under pressure from the crowd. They'll put pressure on the referee. They'll put pressure on your players, their own players would have like a lot to go on throughout the game. Now, Arsenal going into this game shouldn't be a worry. Like I would always, for this season, Arsenal last season went to Anfield with a lineup of Merino, Martinelli, and I think Saka had just returned from injury. I think towards the end of the season, and Arsenal was able to get a 2-2 draw, even though Liverpool were home and dry, having won the league some weeks before that game. But it was Arsenal still went to that stadium and grabbed a very good result for them. This season, one thing that Arteta, the sporting director, better and the board has done is recruiting wisely. They've learned their lessons from last season, two seasons ago, that in the EPL, for you to win, you actually need depth. And you don't just need depth of quantity, you need depth of quality. Now, that is what has helped the teams like Man City win the league over and over again, because they had quality replacement coming off the bench. In times when games are tight, they could call on certain people that would give them the results. Even Liverpool, to some extent, had that quality in depth last season. From their midfield point up to attack, they had enough players that they could call off the bench and they would change games. There were games where Darwin Núñez had to come off the bench and grab a goal or even two, and then decided that tie for them. There were games where Jota came into the game and then changed the face of the game. Diaz, same thing. Even though these guys, they don't score so much, but they were there to supplement whatever was there at that point. Now, Arsenal going into this game will be a little more confident. Why? Because even though they have lost Odegaard, who's not 100% certain if he's going to play on Sunday, and Isaka, who's definitely out, and even Havertz, who's definitely out of this game, they still stand a better chance. Now, Arsenal can confidently put up a lineup that has Martinelli, Madueke, Gyökeres, Eze up top. And that's okay to solve their attacking problems. And then off the bench, they can still call on the likes of Waneri, Max Doman, even Merino off the bench. I mean, these are quality depth. These are players that when they come onto the team or when they get into the lineup, when they are being needed, they can produce a result. So going into this game, it will be Arsenal will be a little more confident or comfortable going into this game. They are not just going into that pressure cooker and holding their hands up and saying whatever happens. They have that platform to be able to compete.
Right, thank you for that. Staying with you, Mr. Ogo. Eberechi Eze has been signed. Being a lifelong Arsenal fan for over two decades now, I'm sure that's someone who's coming back home in the sense that he was in the Arsenal Academy before being let go. Let me ask this question. How comfortable are you, or how impressed are you by Arsenal pulling off this deal on Eberechi Eze, bringing him to the Emirates, and of course getting one over your nearby neighbors in Tottenham Hotspur? How impressed are you with the Arsenal board on this?
100% impressed, because it's always lovely to see how you could easily beat Tottenham to signings. It just shows how big of a club Arsenal is, and it's really sad when people these days want to banter Arsenal, and it's outrageous when I hear people talk about Arsenal like Arsenal is a team that just kind of winning recently. Arsenal is the third most successful team in the Premier League in England as a whole.
Yes.
So when you're talking about Arsenal, you're talking about one of the big teams in the world. Third only to Manchester United and then Liverpool. These are the only two teams that have much trophy and
much more pedigree.
So for Eze moving to Arsenal, it was a fantastic coup by the team, the board, the owner, as well as the as well as the sporting director, they had had conversations earlier during the summer, and Arsenal had said they've had these conversations that we need you on our team, but Arsenal were not ready to pull the trigger yet because he had a release clause, and Arsenal wanted a way where they could negotiate away from the release clause, pay instrumentally and still get their man. So they have had that conversation earlier in the season. However, they waited and then waited for the release clause to have elapsed. Now, one of the things that I loved that Arteta said, and even Ebere Ezechi said, was the fact that he really wanted to come to Arsenal. Now, just so during the whole saga, Tottenham had actually gone in and they've made presented their project to Ebere Ezechi. He was even this close to moving. However, he still called Arteta on Friday, asking him, "Is there a chance I will still play for Arsenal this season?" He called the coach, asking, "Before I sign for Tottenham, I just need to be clear that you guys don't have anything to do with me. You guys have no plans to sign me anytime soon." Arteta asked him. This was all from Arteta's press conference, last press conference, and then he clearly just told the young man, "Give me time." And in 2 hours, the news was all over. I mean, it's a perfect homecoming. This is a player that practically said for every time he played at the Emirates, it was like he was playing an audition to impress Arsenal scouts, having let him go in 2009. That was a long time ago. So it's like a perfect homecoming, the perfect age to join the Arsenal team. I mean, this is someone that's coming in his prime. He's not an upcoming player. He's one of those players that today, any team within the EPL would want him on their team. He would walk into any starting lineup across England at this point in time. So it's a perfect scenario for both player and also the club.
Well, thank you for that input. We'll see how he does at Arsenal. It's a good homecoming for him. And then we'll see if he starts and where he starts. It could be in midfield for Odegaard. It could be on the left if Martinelli is going to play on the right or Madueke starts on the right. We're going to see on Sunday what Arteta comes up with. Coming to you, analyst Kenis. Liverpool conceded just 2 goals in their first 8 Premier League games last season. This season, they've already shipped 4 in their opening 2 games this campaign. And in their last game, honestly, at St. James's Park, to a 10-man Newcastle side, they looked so vulnerable, mainly coming from their left-hand side. Kekes, the left-back, he doesn't seem very comfortable right now. And, I mean, right-back, they signed Frimpong and Conor Bradley was still there from last season. He's, you know, having nagging injury issues. What do you think has been the difference between last season and this season defensively for Liverpool?
Before I just answer your question about Liverpool, and speaking about AJ, I'll say let it all work out like we heard it on. And also, I want to take a little dig at Ugo. Beating sports to signing is not a flex. It's just like Barcelona beating Espanyol to signing. It's when you like the way you beat guy, where you beat Manchester United to sign Guy Carreras, or the how you recruited to be Mendy. We can start having that conversation.
It's like taking candy away from a child.
You understand what I mean? So now, for Liverpool, what has really changed? Honestly, I am struggling to see clearly what has changed, apart from the obvious, the Kekes. Even in that game, they were double teaming Kekes as much. I also think that Gakpo doesn't bring the defensive side as much as what's his name,
Luis
Diaz would do that for you.
Yeah.
but that's not really enough. Maybe the shape is questionable. I can't really see at the moment, but we also have to remember that they are defending champions and they are coming into this season. Everybody will want to draw blood from them. That's what it is. That's the English Premier League.
Talking about their shape, I have to bring this to your notice. You know, I talked about what happens if Alexander Isak actually does come to Liverpool right now. You already have Ekitike, who for me is like an Isak light. Basically, everything is lanky, quick, good on the ball, runs the channels, knows where the goal post is. Imagine adding Isak to this team. What then becomes of Ekitike, in my own opinion? Do you move him to the left? What happens to Gakpo when you move him to the left? And something, or should I say, people are not addressing the elephant in the room. I rate Florian Wirtz very, very highly. Unfortunately, the system that Arne Slot deploys, should I say, he hasn't really fit into it, because the way Liverpool play, you have to have graft in that midfield. That's why I think Szoboszlai will continue to be a starter, either as a double pivot. Unfortunately, McAllister is injured right now, so we might see Szoboszlai in double pivot with Gravenberch, or as the outright number 10 with Florian Wirtz on the bench. So my question to you now is, looking at their shape, how vulnerable have Liverpool shown to be this season, especially when you consider that they've lost the grit of Luis Diaz, McAllister is injured, Gravenberch was injured in their first game, came back last game, but it didn't really change much. Yes, he scored the opener, but it didn't really change much defensively. So what exactly do you think Arne Slot has to look towards in this particular tie versus Arsenal? Because we know how defensively, should I say, compact Arsenal really are. And when they go forward, even though they are going to be without Saka and Odegaard, they can really bite, showing from their last game where they won 5-0.
Yeah, obviously there are two core phases in the game. When you have the ball and when you don't have the ball, we would always say in possession and out of possession. If Wirtz is not able to balance out his what he doesn't bring in the defending for them offensively, then regardless that they've signed him for 150 million long term, he might be the one that is going to they are going to sit out in the team, to be very honest. I'm not very sure if McAllister is injured. I was saying something like his wife was in labor, that's why he missed that Newcastle match. I'm not very certain anyways. So it's difficult not to start with now, just now, because of the amount of money he has been signed. But everyone would agree that McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, these people are going to run for 120 minutes if you ask them to. Wirtz is definitely not going to do that. And Wirtz is centrally positioned. So it means that he opens up that place for positions, you know, to take advantage of. Also, we've seen that KKS has not yet settled in so well. This could be the reasons, but I strongly believe that the emotions at St. James Park was very different. Things, pride were at stake. They wanted to show they deserved Isak more.
But Liverpool still looked, that's the thing, Liverpool still looked very vulnerable versus Bournemouth at home. Semenyo was running rings round Kekes, which and for example, like I said, they've considered 3 goals at the far post this season alone, even though they've considered 4 in total. So it's really something that has to do about the shape or the personnel. What do you think is the real problem here? Because it looks to me that Arne Slot has traded defensive compatibility for more attacking prowess. Remember what Carragher said in that short interview, he said the way Liverpool go forward this season, yes, they might score more, starting to look like Hansi Flick's Barcelona, but coming back, defending back, there are so many spaces. So I don't know whether it's a personnel problem or it's the shape problem. What do you think is the actual problem?
Quickly. Yeah, it's not the shape, it's the personnel, because the shape is still right there, almost the same. It's the personnel that have been employed to do that same job. Now, I agree with you that most often than not, the excessive offensive actions create lack of symmetry, you know, between the two phases, offensive phase and the defensive phase. So I would say it's the personnel. But the Newcastle game, I'm making an excuse for Liverpool, even the Bournemouth game, because at the end of the day, it is 90 minutes game. If you if you dominate in the first 30 minutes, you know, or in the second 30 minutes, you've got to keep that pace. If I'm in, like, for example, Liverpool gave them a serious game and they were 10 men. We are not, people say if they were 11, they could have won Liverpool. We cannot guarantee that. Personally, I cannot guarantee that the emotions would have been same if they were 11. Also, you have to give it to Liverpool, regardless of what happened in that game. They were able to manage their emotions better. It's football first before fight. Yeah, and at the end of the day, they won the match. So we also have to keep that at the back of our minds, that regardless of all this, they still find a way to
win,
to see the game out.
Because that, at the end of the day, 3 points is what matters. Coming back to you, Mr. Ogo, I don't know if you caught the Liverpool Newcastle game and the last timeout at St. James's Park on Monday. Liverpool conceded two set-piece goals. The first goal from the captain, Bruno, and then a ricochet for the second goal for Osula. Arsenal has scored four set-piece goals and the past six goals in the last two games in the Premier League. Arsenal has scored four times from the set-piece. What do you think is going to happen in the next game? Because Liverpool just conceded twice from the set piece, and Arsenal has scored four times out of the six goals they've scored this campaign in the Premier League. What exactly are you expecting? Are you expecting, you know, Arsenal to get at least a goal or two from set pieces?
I mean, when you talked about Liverpool conceding from at the back post twice this season, I was just smacking my lips. And the reason why I'm smacking my lips is exactly what the likes of Gabriel, Saliba, Gyökeres, Arsenal players, and even the assistant coach, the set piece coach, and Arteta would be doing right now, because definitely they've identified something that would be a potential weakness for Liverpool. I think I saw the game on Monday, and a lot of the time they targeted Kekes a lot. Newcastle targeted, attacks were targeted at him. Whenever they had set piece being played in, they always went towards him because he wasn't all that, they realized he wasn't all that strong against
strong in the
opposition when it came to set piece. Now, let's go back. Arsenal has scored about, I might not get these statistics correctly, but it is either 31 or 36 set pieces in the last two seasons or last three seasons.
That's very Stoke-like.
I mean, you want to call it that very Stoke-like, but what happens when a team identifies their strengths and then uses it to their advantage.
There's no crime in using your strengths. If your strengths are in the air, then why not?
Why not use it? I mean, you look at the Arsenal team, and then the shortest person within that team is around 6 feet. Now, what does that tell you? If the shortest person in the first team of Arsenal is 6 feet, I don't think Arsenal scoring from set pieces should be an issue. That is their strength. They have to use every advantage to score. And that's what the team has literally done. The next team to have scored the most set piece after Arsenal, I'm having about 31 or 36 there about. The next team is Liverpool. They have just 20. That's 10. That is 10 more than Liverpool. Now, going into that game, I believe Arteta and his boys will definitely be planning to deploy the same tactics against Liverpool. Even though when push comes to shove, Arsenal is also that team that can put the ball on the ground and still create chances. However, it's an integral part of the Arsenal play against Manchester United. That was the only goal from Calafiori. Against Leeds yesterday. Over the weekend, we saw how Timber was able to use use the advantage to score. So Liverpool definitely, and last season Arsenal had an equalizer from Merino with a header in the first leg. I think the second leg also, it was also a cross and head ball for Martinelli, and also a set piece. So I mean, this tells you Arsenal knows Liverpool woes and definitely will be using it against them. Now Liverpool, if I would just touch on their shape a bit, like analyst Kenny said, it is the personnel. Who are those people executing the instructions that have been passed by the coach? I mean, there is a bit of personnel change within that team, and we can see that friction happening currently. But one thing I want to say is, you don't buy a 100 million player and not find a way to fit him into your team. You have to find a way to fit him into your team, because you don't spend that much and put him on the bench. Now, then that was an unwise decision in the first place to even sign that player. Arsenal got a rights for over 100 million. However, they are finding a way to fit him into that team. Even when they had Partey, now they have to be Mendy. But one way or the other, they have to play to his strengths. And that's what the team is doing. So you don't buy 100 million player and keep him on the bench. You find a way to put him into that team and produce the results that made you in the first place go for that player. But this season also, another thing a lot of people are also not looking at is they have a weak point in defense. Van Dijk is still fantastic, but old age is coming in. Another player that has also lost a bit of form, it could be the issue with his contract, is Konate. Konate's head, 100%.
Konate's head looks done. His head looks done right now.
His head is not 100% at Liverpool, because he has been refusing to sign a new deal with the club and is looking at moving to Real Madrid if the opportunity comes in. So these are some of the things that might be impacting the defensive side that we saw from Liverpool last season. Because Liverpool were that team that had the energy to defend as well as attack. However, there's a trade-off this season, like you said. They want to attack more and concede more. But if you really want to do that, you go back and look at all the teams that have won the league. Defensive compatibility was a hallmark for each and every one of these teams. So if Liverpool are going to go through that route, they might be losing the league come the end of the season if they want to trade off defensive solidarity for more offensive
threat. All right, thank you. I just need to touch on that point quickly. Saliba and Gabriel conceded just 34 goals last campaign, and Liverpool's though conceded more, just slightly more, just 41 goals in 38 league games last season. So it seems as if Arsenal are yet to concede this season, so their defense looks still impenetrable, with Timber on the right, Calafiori on the left, and the partnership of Gabriel and Saliba. Just quickly rounding up right now, analyst Kenny's, what are your predictions for the game? Just quickly, 1 minute, how can you tell us where Arsenal or Liverpool should touch on, and what are your quick predictions for the game?
It's Anfield, and I don't know how Arsenal is actually going to go there and take the entire 3 points away from Liverpool. So for me, it's a draw.
Okay. The past two games in the Premier League has ended with a 2-2 scoreline. So if you're a betting man, that might be the scoreline to look at. Mr. Ogo, quickly, what do you think the scoreline will be?
I'm really glad analyst Kenny's went for a draw, because obviously it shows you that Arsenal is no longer a team that you can push over. And when they go to these big stadiums, they get intimidated. Top six, Arsenal hasn't lost for a very long time. Definitely, Arsenal is not losing at Anfield anytime soon. Arteta at the helm, because instead of him losing, we'd rather I don't know what to say, but instead
someone should and be get the hell out of there.
Yeah, definitely someone should be killed rather than Arteta losing to a top six team. It's either a draw for Arsenal or Arsenal is slightly going to win, and I'm looking at a 3-2 win for Arsenal, or like analyst Kenny said, 2-2 or 1-1. It's definitely going to be a high scoring game. However, it's all about either a draw, a 2-2 draw, or a 3-2 win for Arsenal.
All right. I would go with those predictions. Liverpool are yet to beat Arsenal in the Premier League since the year 2022. And I think it's going to remain that way come Sunday. Thank you both for coming on this space. Everyone, like, subscribe, share, and keep coming back to Tough Conversations. Thank you guys for coming on board. See you guys next week. Cheers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.